Now I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to what's on the screen, Book of Joshua, the fourth chapter. The story actually begins in chapter 3. The long years of wandering in the wilderness are over. Moses and his generation have died, and now a new generation is taking their place. And they're about to enter into the promised land, but to enter the promised land requires them to cross the Jordan River, which, if you have been to the Jordan River, is no great shakes, really. It's not. We're always surprised, visitors are, at, oh, this is the Jordan? But at that time, the Jordan was in flood stage, and it was really the swollen waters, the swollen rivers were quite formidable. And so that brings us to where we find ourselves, Joshua 4. Let me just ask the question, is any obstacle too great for God? Is any obstacle too great for God? Is any obstacle and challenge that you face in your life too great for God? It wasn't here either. If you keep reading in chapter 3, you'll find that God had instructed the priests to enter into the swirling waters of the Jordan River. And when they did that, he caused the flow of the river in a miracle, which many in our world today deny the possibilities of supernatural miracles. That's what the text tells us. In a God-directed intervention, he stopped the flow and the people of Israel passed across. So now, verse 1, chapter 4, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulders according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off from the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." It's all about remembering. God wanted his people to not forget. He didn't want his people to forget who they were. He didn't want his people to forget what he had done for them. In the future, when your children ask you, "What do these stones mean?" he said, "Tell them what God did for you on this day." Again and again in the Bible, we find that God is very concerned that his people remember who they are, remember what God has done for them. And that's why in the Old Testament, God gave a sign to those that he had entered into a special relationship with, and the sign was circumcision, which, by the way, in the Old Testament was baptism. Baptism, like circumcision before it, calls us to remember, doesn't it? It reminds you, every time that we witness a baptism in the front of this church, it reminds you that God has a claim on your life. At least I hope it does. And there was some intentionality and some rich symbolism here in having our young professors put their hands in the baptismal font as they said, "I do, God helping us." Baptism is a rich sacrament that is intended to help us remember who we are. It's intended to help us to remember who God is, what He's done for us, not only in creating us, but then in redeeming us, in providing for our salvation. The water of baptism reminds us that we've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed from all of our sins. The water of baptism reminds us that the Holy Spirit parks Himself in our hearts and in our lives, working within us in a life-renewing presence, making us more and more the person that He freed us to be. These young people are not what they once were, and they are not what they will be because of the work of the Holy Spirit, the continued work and presence of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is this sacrament which is a memorial, just like those stones at Gilgal were a memorial intending for us to remember something very important. Communion is another sacrament, just like those stones, just like baptism. It is intended to help us remember. It flows out of the celebration of the Passover in the Old Testament, which God had given to His people to remind them of how He had rescued them from the bondage of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And in just a few minutes, we're going to take a little piece of that unleavened bread and we're going to dip it, and then we're going to place it in our mouths as we hear the words, "The body and blood of Christ for you." And we will remember. We will remember what Jesus Christ did for us all of those years ago on the cross of Calvary to free us from the bondage of sin and usher us into the promised new life. God is concerned that we do not forget what is most important. So in that spirit, I want to say to those of you who have made your profession of faith this morning, I want to say to you, remember this day. Remember this day, because on this day, something very important has occurred. Not only in your lives, but in a sense for all of us here. Remember this day because you have stood before your parents, before your brothers and sisters, before your family, before your friends that you've invited here, before your church, and you have declared that you embrace God's claim on your life. And you have declared that you accept His promise of salvation, which has been made possible for you, which has become a reality for you through Jesus Christ. And you have declared that at the core of your being, your desire is to love the Lord and serve Him with all of your grateful heart. So what I want to say to you is, don't forget what you have said today, because this day will forever mark who you are. I don't remember my baptism. Obviously, I was too young. My parents remembered and recalled it for me often. And every time that I witnessed a baptism, I remember that I too was claimed by God. But what you will always remember is this day and what you have done and the words you have spoken on this day. On this day, you've professed your faith in Jesus Christ. On this day, you've acknowledged that you belong to Him. On this day, you've expressed your desire to love and serve Him as best as you are able, which is no small thing. What you have said today will be tested. I want you to hear what I'm saying. What you have said today will be tested. As you grow older, you're going to face challenges. You're going to face circumstances. You are going to face temptations that will test your faith, because that's an inevitable part of life. And I want to tell you, there isn't a person sitting in this church with you who has not been tested. And some of us more tested than others. But there's not a person in this church who's gathered here to hear your profession of faith and to love you and to support you with their presence who has not been tested in some ways, in different seasons of their lives, by doubts, by fears, by circumstances, by temptations, by challenges, by obstacles in your life. You will be tested. And when you find yourselves tested, remember this day. Let the memory of this day be a source of encouragement to you. Let the memory of this day and the declaration that you've made on this day remind you of who you are and whose you are, and give you such encouragement in your commitment to Jesus Christ and in your ongoing desire to love and serve Him. At every baptism, you hear words spoken by me. And these are the words that I utter to every child as I hold that child in my arms. Little one, you are a child of God. God has a special claim on your life. May God grant you a long and fruitful life. May you come to know the joy of a life devoted to Him. And at life's end, may you hear the words of the One who greets you with open and outstretched arms. Well done, my good and faithful son. Well done, my good and faithful daughter. And that's my prayer, and that's our prayer for you. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, for the joy of what we've been able to witness this morning, we are so grateful. Thank you, Lord, for the way in which you work in the hearts and lives of our young people, also in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that this hour will be a source of encouragement for all of us as we go on to leave this place and then live out our commitment to you. In Jesus' name, amen.